Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. Leanna, have you noticed inflation on food prices?
Absolutely.
Biggest impact to you from the food side of it first?
I think buying fresh fruits and vegetables has been the worst, to actually watch that go up.
Yeah, I stopped doing anything fresh. Just a lot cheaper.
So it's cheaper not to eat healthy is what you're saying.
Skip the dishes and all that have gone up in pricing. Anybody who's buying online, I had to buy online because I had to scramble and get dinner for the kids and so forth. And I'd start buying online. I'm like, holy, the prices that are jacked up online versus me driving there and picking it up myself, I think was a 20% difference. So that's my food inflation right now.
We saw grapes at over $20 a bundle at one point. So
crazy. Crazy. Are you still buying the how overpriced avocados?
No, I'm trying not to.
Well, food inflation is a concern regardless of where you are, entering retirement, before retirement, all that stuff. And so let's talk about this one, Sylvain Lechebois. We've got the professor, director, Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University. Sylvain, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. You mentioned this, I believe, in an article that the if we have food prices going down, that could be a bad thing. Tell me about this.
Well, yes. Right off the bat, of course. Let's go with controversy. Well, I mean, essentially, you need higher food prices over time to increase investments to actually make our food safer. Every now and then, we actually do see food recalls, and unfortunately, some people fall ill and things like that. So you want the food industry to remain strong, and the only way to do that is to see more investments. If they charge us the same price, and if prices are capped at retail, it's harder to grow the economy. It's harder for farmers to actually make money. It's harder for manufacturers to make money, and so on and so forth. So you do want that. The problem that we've seen the last couple of years is that, I mean, we've actually reached double-digit food inflation, and that's just not easy for anyone to cope with.
So what is the right inflation rate on food to keep the industry healthy, to keep our food safe, and to keep the consumer happy as well?
Yeah, if you want to see more investments in the sector while allowing consumers to cope, I think the sweet spot is anywhere between 1.5 to 2.5%. And I do think that some things have been addressed, like the grocery code of conduct will likely going to stabilize prices over time and reduce the risk of seeing the 5, 6, 7% we've seen recently between, I'd say, end of 2022 to early 2024.
So tell us a little bit about that grocery code of conduct and how you see it impacting prices.
The thing about supply chains is that you do have some players with power, and I would name two of them, Loblaws and Walmart. They do dictate the rules of the food distribution game in Canada. And so they, if you want to sell, say, juice, for example, to Loblaw, they will charge you a listing fee, $100,000, $200,000, etc. The next year, seeing that your juice is popular, they'll charge you more. And as a juice maker, the reaction you'll have is to increase prices. That's basically what's been happening. And so that pushes prices higher. It brings more volatility. You were talking earlier about produce. I mean, the reason why people are just scared of produce and walk away from very important nutritional categories is because prices are volatile, like meat also. And so if you actually discipline the supply chain, you'll see less volatility and consumers will actually go back to categories, we all need the categories that are nutritionally desirable.
So when we talk about balancing this, that sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's very challenging. What are the biggest challenges that the industry and the system has in order to balance it out, to get that equilibrium point that you're looking for?
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, the one factor that really brings a lot of volatility is climate change. We do trade with a lot of different nations, and sometimes you'll have a drought here, a flood there, a hurricane here, a typhoon there, and that impacts volatility for sure. We're impacted every single day. I can just think of sugar, coffee, beef, cocoa. All of these commodities are impacted by climate change, like right now. And that factor is really making our food not necessarily always more expensive, but prices become less predictable. And so grocers and manufacturers have to work hand in hand. My argument to government, if you really want to stabilize prices as much as possible, other than the code of conduct, it would be to invest more in manufacturing to anchor that supply chain domestically. So you're less exposed to systemic factors that brings more volatility, like the currency and climate change.
Those are all really good points, but I guess the question most people will be asking us right now is there any hope? Are we actually going to see prices come down in the near term? Or is that something that the food prices are where they are and they're going to remain that way, and then we're still going to see some growth on top of that?
Well, let me ask you a question very briefly. How much do you think prices have gone up as a percentage since March 2020 when the pandemic started? I'm just a guess.
That's a good question.
I think it was 21%.
It was 21 at some point, it's between 10 and 20, yeah.
It's now 27% nationally, so on average. But a lot of people, when you ask them, they'll say 50%, 75%. Actually, it's 27%. Now, right now, what we're seeing is a much calmer market. We are seeing deals. In fact, canned tuna is cheaper than 5 years ago in Canada. Would you believe that? So there are items. You talked about avocados. Avocados are cheaper this year than last year. So for avocado fans out there, I would go for avocados right now.
He's not saying anything that's not healthy. All the healthy food he's mentioning.
That's right, exactly. I'm being very careful here.
And that's been the biggest argument. It's cheaper to eat at your local quick serve restaurant than it is to buy in the produce aisle of the grocery store.
Or going to the center of the store where the dry goods are, but the unhealthy ultra-processed foods are. There are deals there, but I can tell you there's less volatility. Produce is actually going to be a good section for the remainder of the year. Harvest has been really strong across the country, so we will benefit from that.
So you talk about manufacturing as one of the ideas to mitigate the risk of importing as well as the foreign currency. The part of the manufacturing also requires technology. Our climate in this country doesn't always provide us the opportunity to get all the different types of produce and goods that are out there that we're importing in. Do you believe that the manufacturing is one part of it, but the agri-tech that needs to happen, the evolution of technology to provide and create these types of products in as simple as a building in downtown Calgary, for example, versus a humongous piece of land that requires all this and the right type of climate? Do you think that the agro-tech industry needs to be evolved here as well?
When you think about agri-tech, I actually have to think about Calgary, where you guys are, because I see a lot of potential. In the province of Alberta, there's been more momentum around manufacturing. We see that also in Saskatchewan with canola crushing as well. So I think Canadians are starting to become more strategic about distribution and supply chains. Do we need to do more? Absolutely. And when it comes to robotics, I have to say, I've visited some plants, even in GTA in Toronto, and I got to tell you, when you walk into some of these plants, you're back in the 50s. It's just, why? Because margins are low, risks are high. It's a high volume, low margin environment. It's different than in petroleum, pharmaceuticals. So you kind of have to really support and push entrepreneurs to reinvest. I mean, I actually went into a donut manufacturing plant, and they were still filling donuts manually in 2024. It's unimaginable.
Well, we can talk more about this, Sylvain. Sorry, we have to go to a commercial break, but we want to thank you for joining us today.
Take care.
Sylvain Charlebois, Professor Director, Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University. Now, inflation's a big concern. It's going to be the biggest impact in your retirement as you go through it. Those cost of goods are always going to go up over the long term. let's talk about how we're going to help our viewers and listeners at the upcoming seminars.
Yes, we have two upcoming seminars. The first is in Lethbridge on September 24th at 7 p.m. That's this coming Tuesday at the Sandman Signature Hotel. The next Calgary one will be on Tuesday, the 29th of October in person at the Hamptons Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
The Alberta Bill of Rights. Could it help or hurt us? We're going to join us after the break and talk about that on QR Calgary and More Than Money.